the Roman leader Pontius Pilate stood before Jesus and said,
"So you are a king."
Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." Pilate said to him,
"What is truth?"
John 18:37-38. Hi, I'm Pastor Joel of Heart City Church, and we're considering the deceptions of the devil. And one of the devil's main strategies today is to suggest truth is relative, subject to change. And one of the main reasons we fall for it is, well, we want what's fashionable. I know that's often my problem when truth is staring me in the face. Pilate didn't have to be influenced by postmodernism when he ducked and dodged around Jesus' truth claim. Pilate would not let truth trump his bigger concern, satisfying the crowd, Mark 15:15. This same crowd did not want to hear some outdated truth Jesus was bearing witness to. Some things will never change, as the meat puppets once sang. It all began with the serpent saying to Eve in the garden, "Did God really say?" After which the devil invited Eve to buy into rival facts. "You will be like God," was offered as a new alternative, and Eve caved to the serpent's pressure. The devil's tactics have not changed. If the devil could make God's word seem outdated at the beginning of human history, how much more in our day, when the Bible truly is an ancient manuscript, and we have more fresh information available to us than at any time in human history? We have the internet, and many of us in our day, we fancy ourselves to be truth seekers. We can research and find out almost anything we want to know, whether it's about the election results, or COVID and vaccines, or who killed JonBenet Ramsey. So why is it that our desire for truth and greater ability to discover it have produced the situation where truth is less certain than ever before? Maybe Jack Nicholson is right.
"We can't handle the truth."
Because we want to be like God. Oprah Winfrey declared at the 2018 Golden Globes, "What I know for sure is that speaking your truth is the most powerful tool we all have." What Oprah is sure is true is that you have your truth. Oh, and I have mine. Our own truths are our most powerful tool. And it's not just Oprah. Your own truth is common phraseology. So let's think about this for a minute and see where it leads us. We're born into a world that you and I did not create. It was filled with meaning, with truth, before we ever arrived. I mean, you'd have to be a brain in a vat to say there's no meaning apart from your beliefs of the world. But many people today claim our right to live out our own truths in this world. Now, I'm not denying we can have different perspectives on the world. Actually, different perspectives benefit our understandings of the world as we journey together through life. I believe we get a fuller understanding of our world by sharing what we experience. For example, if you and I get on a plane flying together to New York, I may look out the window at all the scenery and feel on top of the world while you're reading a book about airplane aeronautics while feeling cramped in your seat. We don't have to argue about whether the flight was an exhilarating experience or a boring one. I could tell you about the incredible sights I saw, and you could tell me about the plane, sharing objective truth about how a plane flies, because you read up and you know more than me about it. You could explain how the airplane was designed to deal with thrust and lift and deal with gravity and wind, and this is why we can travel safely at 30,000 feet and 600 miles an hour. What if I said to you, "Yeah, that's your truth. I'm getting to New York based on my own truth. I have my own feelings about thrust and lift and why we're airborne. And I have an alternative theory on gravitational pull, and it's just as legitimate as yours." I bet you'd be thankful that I'm not an engineer who designed this plane. What's your point, Joel? Subjective feelings and experiences do not trump objective truth. It's popular today to say that there's many ways to get to heaven. You get there your way, I've got my own way, and you're supposed to affirm these beliefs because we're all entitled to our own truths. My friend, I care too much about you to affirm your theories about heaven are legit. You and I are a mess. That is not my perspective either. The Bible says we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. None of us will ever be good enough for liftoff. We haven't obeyed God's law perfectly on our best day. Now, I've read God's basic instructions before leaving planet Earth, the Bible. And it says we have to put our trust in the Son that the Father sent to save us by His obedient life and His death on the cross. I know you've probably heard that before. The gospel is old news. And there's plenty of new popular beliefs and other old religions that recycle themselves and make their rounds and sound so fresh. And folks say, choose the one that works for you because they all get you to where you want to go. Friend, Jesus doesn't give us that option. He makes the exclusive truth claim that He alone is the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father except through Him, John 14:6. I want to encourage you, friend, to consider the old news that is the only good news in a world of shifting sand. Satan would like nothing better than for you to ignore the truth that stares you right in the face and to trust in some new fashionable, something that is ever unstable, something that won't get you to your destination. If God did not spare His own Son, but gladly sent Him to die while bearing witness to a sure way to glory, would it not be a good idea to listen to His voice? Will you be a person of the truth or a person of your truth? I pray you choose the former and the firmer. Trust in Jesus, my friend, and then remember who you are and who you belong to.